Please be seated. Let me ask you to direct your attention to the reading of the scriptures found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. If you're using the Pew Bible, that would be on page 1503. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And may the Lord add to us the blessing of understanding and embracing his holy word. As you see from the title of the sermon, a very common phrase used in our culture today, usually said with jesting. Sometimes mass murderers will use this as an excuse. The devil made me do it, referring to their sins before God. Well, Scripture clearly states that is not true. In fact, we see this as one of the oldest excuses known to mankind. Way back in the garden, as the Lord confronts both Adam and Eve for their rebellion, Eve, confronted first, basically said, it's the devil's fault. And we should be very concerned as Christians, as individuals created in the image of God, to have this petition in some form, in some way, in our prayer life. So this is why we deal with the next petition in our list in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. It seems a bit strange, this petition. Why would God, after all, if we're praying this to the Lord, why would God lead us into temptation when we know that he commands us not to sin? So the petition sounds odd when we first read it. Of course, what may come to mind if we know other passages of the Bible, like the book of James, the teaching of the Lord there is that the God tempts no man. Indeed, why should God, who hates sin, because it is against him and his character, ever tempt anyone to sin. We must reconcile these passages of Scripture. In fact, as I mentioned about the garden, it was a time when the devil, coming in the form of the serpent, did tempt Eve specifically to sin in order for her to rebel against God, and hence she be submissive to him, Satan or Lucifer. In that same situation, the same event, the Lord your God allowed both Adam and Eve to be tested as to whether they would stand for God and his truth. See, the devil's intent shows malice. The Lord's intent was to seek sincerity and strengthening of faith in both Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden, man was tempted to sin, and he was tested as to whether he would commit sin. The petition in the prayer seeks for the Lord to intervene in the life of the one praying. To intervene, help me not to sin. It's not to suggest we are passive and have no responsibility whether we sin or not. But rather it recognizes that our Lord, our God, overrules all things. And we must seek his grace for sanctification. David expresses a similar sentiment in Psalm 19, which we will sing. Verse 13, keep back your servant, David says, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. So you must recognize your own tendency as an individual to commit sin. We have that struggle until we come to our heavenly home. As long as we are on earth, we have a struggle with sin in some form. And so we confess this as we pray this petition. And the Lord is faithful to his people always. So you are not alone in your temptation. This is what is being underlined here. That beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but that which is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape. That is probably the best commentary on this petition. And the reason why we should pray this petition. See, the escape from the temptation is seeking grace in order to be faithful to the Lord you are to love. An expression of that love is indeed worship, but it's also obedience. See, the Lord does not provide impossible standards for mankind or for his people. He gives the highest standards to live by, indeed, and to worship him by. But he is interested, he has a vested interest for you to perform which he commands you to do. That is his good will. So the Lord gives us this petition to pray, to use for our blessing. See, the Lord has given us one another so we can pray for one another and recognizing this need. And this is one of the beautiful blessings of prayer meetings, as well as getting together with just one other saint to pray for one another, to pray for your struggles, to encourage one another in the faith, to share scripture, to keep you in the right and straight path the Lord has set before us. The Word of God reminds you, whenever you read or whenever you hear the way of peace and righteousness, it's found in God's teachings. And we're reminded that we have an enemy. Indeed, it is the devil, but it's also sin that lies near us. So there is temptation that is outward, and there is some temptation that is inward. And James says how we are drawn away. How are we tempted after all? How are we tempted to commit a sin? When we consider sin, that's when we have sin. James in chapter 1, starting with verse 13, says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So don't deceive yourselves. So we must look both ways. We must be watchful of our own tendencies, our own patterns of thinking, what we daydream about, what is in our heart. But we also must be watchful to look to the Lord for help. You cannot do it on your own. We are foolish to think I can be upright by my own strength, by my own means, because I am me after all. We humbly petition the Lord and fervently seek Him for help in times of temptation. Jesus Himself was subject to temptation from men and from the devil. Remember, He started His ministry by fasting 40 days in the wilderness. Towards the end of that, He was tempted by the devil. Yet the Lord, as a man, never sinned, not once. And He had the same means that you and I have. And what a wonderful comfort we have that we have such a Savior as Jesus. He is completely sympathetic to your plight of temptation. He likewise was assaulted by a world that promotes sin on every level. Jesus understands fully your temptations, more fully than you. Now we have to be careful. Often, perhaps, as Christians, we might use language incorrectly. When we say, "I struggle with such and such a sin. I'm tempted by it all the time." Are we really saying, "I commit such and such a sin in my heart, and I struggle with that"? Or are we saying that temptation is out there, and it's always out there? So often when we say we're tempted, we're really saying we have fallen into the sin. Jesus was tempted, but He did not sin. Now, what can the devil do in temptation? I think often there is myth. Remember, the devil and the demons cannot make you sin. Never have. Never had that power, and never will have that power. Satan somehow knows the saints in a particular way, individually. Somehow he knows our weaknesses very well. And he will seek from time to time to take advantage of our weaknesses. He will seek to entice you and I to sin if we are in the faith. It might be a thought that comes into our mind. It might seem from out of nowhere. He could use temptation through another individual. We should not be focused solely on, is it Satan who is tempting me? That is not the issue. The issue is temptation. And we have a responsibility to resist it. And James gives that wonderful exhortation, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Resist the temptation, go to the Lord, and submit to the Lord, and then the devil will be dealt with. But the greatest temptation that we all face is not outward. It is inward. And that is a sobering situation. Who is the greatest tempter to you? It is yourself. What thoughts do we coddle in secret? Because after all, no one can read our mind. No one knows what we are thinking. And often we think, I have therefore liberty to think on whatever I want to think, because who's going to say no? We are the worst tempter to ourselves. It could be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Those three things sum up all sins. Do we find ourselves entertaining thoughts of sin? What would it be like if I committed such and such sin? Do we tend to kind of push the envelope and see how far we can get before actually outwardly committing a particular sin? We must be vigilant with our own heart. We enter temptation by entertaining temptation. We must flee from sin. There are some wonderful examples of people fleeing and protecting themselves from temptation. We have the story of Joseph, if you remember that in Genesis 39, where he was a slave in Potiphar's household, and Potiphar's wife cast her lusting eyes upon Joseph. And again she made outward advances towards Joseph, suggesting and later commanding even for him to commit adultery with her. And Joseph was wise. He even sought to not be in the house alone with that woman, lest she take advantage of that situation. And there was a time when they were alone and she sought to take advantage of it. And I think Joseph was being careful not only for Potiphar's wife's sake, but for his own. Job, fearing the same tendency to commit the sin of adultery, said in chapter 31, verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? He's not saying I can't look at a woman in her eyes and talk to her. He's saying, I made a covenant that I will not stare upon a woman to lust after her. Now, there are sad examples of those who weren't careful with temptation, were not on guard. Think of King Solomon. He's given as a contrast to one who should be ever diligent and watching for temptation. Sadly, Solomon had a father who did not have the best example in marriage. David multiplied wives, and Solomon thought nothing when he was king that he should have many, many more. And what does the commentary of the Holy Spirit say about these two men? 1 Kings 11, verse 3 and 4. Speaking of Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it were so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. See, Solomon, the so-called wisest man of all the earth, did become a fool, for he did not watch for temptation. See, this petition in the Lord's Prayer serves to help you to grow in faith. Blessed is the Lord that he simply does not save us and then walks away, or else we would perish. So by way of application, never, never neglect your prayers for your own growth of faith. For the need to confess your sins, ask for forgiveness. But this petition is saying, don't have to go that far. Keep away from sin. If you do right, you have no need for forgiveness. And so we must grow in sanctification. If you are a child of God, you cannot be content in your spiritual life. You cannot say it is easy street from here on out. I have known the Lord as much as I need to know. I have conquered sin and I am no longer tempted. No one can say that. In fact, we yearn to be in heaven, to be home with the Lord, to have the resurrected body where we would sin no more. I think there are two things that Christians yearn most. One, to be rid of the old man that still inclines towards sin. And two, to have that intimate conversation, intimate worship, interactions with our Lord as we were meant to have. And so we do not arrive at perfection this side of heaven, but we strive for perfection. And so we must strive to live in holiness towards God and hence not enter into temptation and be delivered more and more from the evil one. So we are to acknowledge God in all our ways, Scripture says. And this is part of the beauty of Christianity. When the world looks upon you, the world should know that you are an individual who hates sin. You are an individual who mourns over your own personal sin. And you are one who is deeply dependent upon the Lord to help you in temptation. And that way the world, people of the world who do not have faith, who seem it's impossible to live according to God's way, will look at you and say, well, you're real. You struggle with that too? How do you deal with that sin? How can you ever overcome sin A, B, or C? And perhaps that'll be your door to witness of God's grace. And once again, I've said it before and it needs to be repeated. This petition is not to be said robotically. We must pray this petition and have fervency in our prayer, because struggle with sin is real. It is difficult. And we want to have more and more the victory that is found in Christ. For he had victory over sin and death, and he rose from the grave. And when you are tempted, examine yourself. When that temptation comes to you, think upon the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. Have you said you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Think upon that when you're tempted. For you know, sin, the act of sin, is not an act of love. How can I love the Lord and commit this grievous sin against my God? Perhaps that would keep you in the right frame of mind. Indeed, to abide in Christ is to forsake sin. And then another exhortation that sometimes might be very hard for people. If there are certain people, and perhaps certain places that you go, where you find yourself entering into sin again and again and again, depart from those people. Do not go to those places. You might upset people. They might not be your friends any longer. But if you recognize someone is your tempter and you have a weakness because you want to please them or you want to be popular in school or fit in with the crowd at work or whatever it is, whatever form of temptation, recognize temptation for what it is and flee. Do not go there. Avoid it. And pray to your God for strength. We must be zealous for our own spiritual good. Others can't be zealous in place of you. Others can help you. Others can exhort you and warn you. But only you truly can be on guard against sin. And so that is why it's so important. As Pastor Bruce said just moments ago, we must not leave off the reading of our Bible. And when I mean reading, I mean meditation upon your Bible. Think about what you read about. Seek to apply the passages that are read to you, the sermon that you hear. Cherish the time when you are with other saints, the prayer in your own personal prayer life, your family prayer. Cherish those moments, for they are there for your blessing and for your equipping to walk in righteousness. In closing, I just want to share two passages of Scripture. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." That's a scary thing, really, to request. But that prayer ends with the very next verse. "And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Even David recognized the importance of this petition. And finally, I spoke about Jesus, how he faced temptation, yet he never sinned. And we have a beautiful, beautiful passage, as many, in fact, all passages of Scripture, but found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Let me read it to you. "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So often verse 16 about coming boldly to the throne of grace is quoted. But here's the context of that passage. We all are prone to sin, and Jesus understands that. How much greater confidence, knowing that Jesus himself was tempted, and even by the evil one, that we should have assurance when we come to that throne of grace, seeking God's grace, that the Lord is inclined to give it. He desires to give it. And we are in need of him to give it to us. So I will close with this exhortation. If you are struggling with a sin, and you've struggled for months or for years and have not had any victory, yet this is something you have not shared with anyone, perhaps now is the time to seek out the elders here or someone. Help. Help me to have victory. Pray with me. Will you pray with me? May the Lord will hear our prayers. Perhaps you will gain encouragement, and the Lord will use it. But the means of grace is there. The Lord wants you to have victory, and He has secured it through His Son, Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Lord and God, we are so thankful, Lord, that as the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, He gave this great model prayer, which is found throughout Scriptures. And Lord, we all confess that we are tempted one way or another, sometimes by outward influences, more often inward in our heart. Lord, sin is deceitful. The devil is our great enemy. But Lord, may we grow in our love for You. Bless us with Your Spirit. Sanctify us through Your Word. Incline us more and more to pray for ourselves and for one another. And deliver us from the evil one. Guide us in the path of righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.